Hello, you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona with the Prescott Daily Courier for Sunday, January 11th, 2026. I'm volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Front page articles include Prescott City Council to consider Workforce Housing Strategic Plan Update, 2025 Audit, General Plan, January 13. County Board discusses AI literacy voting location, and state tax cuts to take center stage as lawmakers gavel in 2026 session. Now the stories behind the headlines. Prescott City Council to consider Workforce Housing Strategic Plan Update, 2025 Audit, General Plan, January 13, by Hava Herzog, The Daily Courier. The Prescott City Council will discuss the draft Workforce Housing Strategic Plan, the city's fiscal year 2025 audit, $45 city court docket fee, and further discussion or possible action on the 2025 general plan at its next round of meetings Thursday, January 13, in the Council Chambers of Prescott City Hall. Study session. Elliot D. Pollock and Company will provide an update on the development of the Workforce Housing Strategic Plan at 1 p.m. According to a memo from Council, the update presentation will include progress to date, preliminary recommendations, and how the plan will complement the adopted Workforce Housing Policy Framework. The City of Prescott's housing affordability has declined over the past 5 years, according to a draft of the Prescott Workforce Housing Strategy included in the agenda packet. The document stated that Prescott is expected to see moderate growth in the coming years, which is why solutions are needed to aid affordability for current residents and plan for future residents. The goal is to design a plan that will turn policies into action. This item is the only item on the study session agenda, and it is for discussion only. Voting meeting. Toward the beginning of the voting meeting at 3 p.m., City Council will celebrate the United Way of Yavapai County and proclaim Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, January 19. There will be closures in observance of MLK Day, including city offices, the transfer station, and the Prescott Public Library. City offices will reopen Tuesday, January 20 at 8 a.m., and the library will reopen at 9 a.m. The transfer will also reopen the next day, operating from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. There are 6 items on the consent agenda, including approval of a contract to audit the city's annual comprehensive financial report for fiscal years 2026 and 2027, according to a memo to the council. The financial impact of the 2-year contract with Baker Tilly, a certified public accountant, will cost $133,322, budgeted through the finance department. About 30% of the cost will be paid through the general fund. The contract extends to a pre-existing 3-year contract approved by Council in April 2023. Council will also move to approve the residential and non-residential water budget for January 2026 to July 2026. Council approves the water budget semi-annually. The Water Issues Subcommittee voted unanimously to recommend the residential water budget be set to 25 acre feet per year with no rollover, and the non-residential water budget to the same. The water budget for the July 2025 to December 2025 period was the same. The final item on the consent agenda is a request for a comprehensive sign plan for Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University to upgrade 2 of its existing monument signs and create a new one. The signs are proposed at 3 entrances to campus along Willow Creek Road. The proposed sign locations include the main entrance at Dan Carroll Drive and 2 other entrances at Rummel Road and Haas Boulevard. The sign proposed at Dan Carroll Drive would be a 25-foot-tall monument sign with an electronic ID sign. The other 2 are 5-foot-tall monument signs. The Planning and Zoning Commission unanimously recommended approval of this request on December 11, 2025. Looking to the consent agenda, there is one item regarding establishing a city court docket fee and another related to permitted and prohibited activities in city parks and waterways. The city court is requesting a $45 docketing fee be added to civil matters, including civil traffic and parking infractions, according to a memo to council. The fee will shift the operational cost from taxpayers to system users. The fees will be used to offset costs associated with employee services, record keeping, technology, and case management. A notice of the change was posted to the city's website on November 7, 2025. Council will either move to adopt or deny Ordinance Number 2026-1927. If adopted, the $45 fee will be incorporated into the City of Prescott's fee schedule. Ordinance Number 2026-1928 seeks to approve amendments and changes to Prescott City Code regarding activities in the city's parks and waterways. The ordinance aims to improve consistency, enforcement clarity, and public understanding of permitted and prohibited activities, according to the memo. The ordinance updates definitions related to camping, changes to language regarding parking fees, and clearly prohibits swimming, bathing, and wading in designated waterways and city limits. Waterways include city-managed lakes, canals, and reservoirs. The regular agenda has two items: the city's fiscal year 2025 audit results, and discussion and possible action related to the 2025 general plan. Audit Principal Brian Hammerly with Baker Tilly will present the city's audit report of its financial statements as required by the city charter and Arizona revised statutes. At council's last meeting on December 9, council members voted to push the vote on the general plan to January 13. Council must either readopt the existing general plan from 2015 or adopt a new general plan. A new plan was set forth before council in March 2025, but was not approved. Council may also choose to establish a council subcommittee depending on the council's action on adopting the plan. County Board discusses AI literacy voting location. Compton chosen as new chairman. Check will be vice chair. By Gillian Gus Andrews, The Daily Courier. Yavapai County's Board of Supervisors greenlit over $1 million of appropriations for the Sheriff's Office, as well as $283,353.12 to use legal research software the county attorney said contained artificial intelligence, AI, they were forced into, at their regular meeting in Prescott Wednesday, January 7. The board also heard about Williamson Valley's uncertain voting location, literacy improvements in schools, downwinder advocacy progress, a county attorney who has been called up to assist with the National Guard's growing immigration caseload, and a 646 donation of Date Creek Ranch land to become a county-managed conservation easement. Attorney's office forced to use AI database. County Attorney Dennis McGrane told the board that Westlaw, a standard database used for legal research, whose contract the county voted to fund for another year, has a new product out that basically we're going to be forced into by the end of this year. It has incorporated AI into its model. Everything you're thinking about AI and you're worried about, we did too, and we've addressed Westlaw about that, McGrane said. The company responded that their AI agent is trained only on a limited universe of existing case law. Limiting AI training to a specific set of data does not stop the problem of AI hallucinations, where the AI predicts that certain words should go together in a way that produces responses that are not correct. There are attorneys, by the way, that are getting in trouble for using AI, McGrane told the board. He cited instances in which AI has generated fake case law, and lawyers have ended up citing case law that does not exist. Using AI tools doesn't mean the lawyers can stop being lawyers, McGrane said. They still have to double-check these things. Williamson Valley voting location will change. Williamson Valley's voting location will be moved this election cycle. Supervisor Chris Cucnio said that at the meeting that the town's fire department would no longer allow its building to serve as the voting center, citing concerns that its metal roof interfered with the signal when the machines reported back to the county. Cucnio said he would seek and propose a new location. I think it's important to have vote centers close to people, he said. The board unanimously approved all other proposed voting locations. Teachers, students get evidence-based literacy support. The county board approved targeted literacy interventions for K through 8 students, as well as trainings for teachers in an expansion of a phonics-based program that has already been rolled out in the east side of Yavapai County. Beaver Creek, Camp Verde, Clark Del Jerome, and Sedona Oak Creek schools should soon benefit from what the Education Service Agency, ESA, has learned in that initial rollout. County School Superintendent Steve King told the board that 150 to 200 teachers would attend the trainings in this program, with remote attendance possible for some of the more far-flung districts. A countywide training for teachers on reading standards will take place on June 9 through 10. King said that to make the program sustainable and reduce cost, his department was preparing local teachers to become trainers of trainers rather than bringing in outside consultants. The ESA has worked with school curriculum directors throughout the county to identify common themes they believe need to be addressed. Targeted literacy interventions will pull students out of regular instruction based on assessments of their reading progress and provide two different tiers of intensive support based on what they need. This is the only county, the only Board of Supervisors, that has stepped up to support education this way in the entire state, said King. Ranch resolution returned to sender. Without discussion, the board voted to return the case of Anthony E. Black, Jr., of Black Ranch, to the hearing officer who originally fined Black $200,000 for alleged zoning, permit, and other violations. Black has argued that the county has been violating agriculture business owners' rights to due process and agricultural exemption under state law by applying tax status requirements to zoning cases. The board voted unanimously on December 17 to change county regulations so that agricultural businesses would get agricultural zoning exemptions earlier as they set up their businesses for the first time. Changing of the guard as county picks new chair, vice chair. Brooks Compton will serve as chair and Nikki Check as vice chair of the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors this year. After a unanimous vote from their peers, Brooks Compton will serve as chair and Nikki Check as vice chair of the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors this year after a unanimous vote from their peers. Compton is the supervisor for District 1, including the southern part of Prescott, and points to the south and west. Check is the supervisor for District 3, including Jerome, Sedona, and the Verde Valley. Compton and Check praised departing Chair Mary Mallory for her service as they came up to speed as new board members over the past year. When I nominated Mary to be chair last year, I said we needed grace in the chairmanship. And she sure brought that, Compton said. What I mean by that is, this job doesn't come with an instruction manual. One day you're a non-swimmer, and the next day you're cliff diving in Acapulco. She keeps us all from doing belly flops. Check presented Mallory with a small golden heart from the board. It recognized how Mallory had showed us all how to lead with your heart and to have purity and integrity in all of our hearts in all of the work that we do, Check said. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website, sunsounds.org. You can also get our stream and on-demand programs with the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. State tax cuts to take center stage as lawmakers gavel in 2026 session by Howard Fisher for The Courier, Phoenix. State lawmakers launched their 2026 session Monday with a lot of money issues on their plate. How much to spend to maintain or expand existing programs? What can be done to make housing more affordable? how much of a tax break to give Arizonans. And that last issue could be the first one tackled and result in the first veto of the year for Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs as GOP lawmakers play a bit of chicken with the state's chief executive. That's because the question of state tax cuts is tied to how much of what already is in the Big Beautiful Bill approved last year by Congress they want to mirror at the state level. What makes that important is that Arizona is a piggyback state, using the adjusted income from the federal form as a starting point to compute state taxes. If Arizona conforms to all those changes, life is simpler for filing taxes. But if it does not, that creates additional calculations Arizonans have to do. The Republican leadership in the legislature already wants to conform to those federal changes. Only thing is, that could cost the state up to $440 million a year in revenues. By contrast, Hobbs is interested in mirroring only tax cuts for individuals, things like a higher standard deduction, an extra deduction for seniors, and no tax on tips or overtime. And that carries a price tag of about $250 million. Senator J.D. Mesnard said the bill GOP leaders intend to send to Hobbs the first week of session does have most of the tax breaks she wants. There are a few exceptions. For example, a proposal to eliminate interest payments for people who buy new cars built in America is gone. The Chandler Republican said it's almost impossible to tell where a vehicle with U.S. label like Ford is actually put together. Ditto a Toyota or Nissan. Instead, there's a plan to increase tax credits for childcare. But because of how the tax code works, if Hobbs signs that bill, she also will incorporate the tax breaks for businesses that she doesn't want, like accelerated depreciation for new equipment, into the tax code. And if she follows through with her veto threat, that delays the ability of Arizonans to start filing their state taxes. There's also something else. How does the state make up the cost, whichever plan becomes law? GOP leaders think there's enough anticipated revenue to make up the gap, but that also likely means that some programs that were given one-time funds in the past, ranging from housing to K-12 education, might be left out. Hobbs, in her own race for re-election, isn't saying much about her plan to balance the budget and pay for her proposed tax cut. Instead, she has suggested there could be efficiencies built into state operations, though she provided no specifics. One of the big costs in the budget are universal vouchers allowing all students to attend private or parochial schools or be homeschooled, all with about $7,400 a year in tax dollars. The cost of these vouchers, formerly known as empowerment scholarship accounts, is approaching $1 billion a year, a significant amount in a current $17.3 billion budget. Hobbs has tried since taking office in 2023 to rein these in, most recently by means testing, with no restrictions on families earning up to $100,000, and then a declining percentage with no vouchers for families above $200,000. That didn't even get a hearing. More realistic politically could be better policing of what some parents of homeschooled children have been buying with their money, with reports of questionable expenses, including diamond rings, appliances, and gift cards. That, however, could come with a cost of its own if the Department of Education is given additional staff to audit these purchases. On the subject of education, lawmakers have to decide if they're going to renew and expand a program to provide extra cash to public schools. The original plan approved by voters in 2015 as Proposition 123 tapped into what have been considered excess earnings by the state land trust, generating about $3.5 billion over a 10-year period. Only thing is, that extra funding in the plan expired in 2025. Both GOP lawmakers and Hobbs want an extension, but have differed in details. The Republican plan would earmark all the extra cash for an estimated $4,000 increase in teacher salaries. The governor's proposal so far has been to withdraw even more money from the trust to spread the wealth around for not just teacher salaries, but also support staff and general school funding, as well as cash for school capital and safety improvement. So far, the expiration has produced no immediate hit to schools, with lawmakers making up the difference using general state revenues to make up an extra $300 million this school year. But with lawmakers and the governor looking for every penny and hoping to fund their tax cuts, there could be pressure to renew tapping the trust and free up the state cash. There's also a timing issue. Any renewal would require voter approval. And here, too, vouchers are a factor. Some Republicans say they won't vote to put the extension on the ballot unless it includes something else, whether it's enshrining vouchers in the Arizona Constitution or, at the least, letting students who go to public and private schools without sports teams to also participate in interscholastic sports at their local public school. Also on the agenda is the issue of making more affordable housing available. Lawmakers made some inroads in the last 2 years with legislation to override various city zoning rules. One, for example, allows homeowners to construct accessory dwelling units, better known as casitas, on their properties that can be rented out to others. More sweeping have been laws on middle housing, requiring cities to allow duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and townhomes in certain central locations that otherwise have been zoned for single-family homes. That, however, has generated kickback in some communities concerned that it will change the character of their neighborhoods. And that, in turn, could provoke some changes this year to protect historic areas. But affordability issues remain, paving the way for future fights between developers on one side and cities and their neighborhood associations on the other. Hobbs is looking at creating a fund to pool public and private resources that developers could use to leverage other dollars to reduce the cost of construction. One closely related issue deals with vacation rentals. Approved in 2022 and signed into law by Republican Doug Ducey, Hobbs' predecessor, it was billed as a method of allowing homeowners to make a few extra dollars by renting out spare rooms to tourists. The reality, however, has been investors buying up homes for the sole purpose of renting them out, drying up the stock of available and affordable housing and rentals. Efforts to allow local restrictions have so far stalled in the Republican-controlled legislature, and even Hobbs has refused to take a position on the issue. But the experience in places like Sedona, where vacation rentals are approaching one out of every five homes, has promoted some backing to provide relief, at least for smaller communities. A separate question surrounds whether there is the ability to build new homes. Some of that deals with the fact that the state land department controls 9.2 million acres of land in the state, some of it on the edges of major cities. There has been some criticism of the agency for failing to plan for future growth, and the ability to develop on those lands can depend on those properties being auctioned off. And cities and neighborhoods have been able to quash efforts to allow creation of more starter homes on smaller lots and with limited setbacks. The larger question on development for much of the state, however, relates to water. Properties within the state's active management area can be developed only if there is an assured water supply, something defined by decades-old state law as showing there's enough there for 100 years. That's not an issue in areas served by cities or water companies with their own assured supply, but it has put a damper on some new development at the edges of urban areas. The Department of Water Resources last year came up with a workaround of sorts for those properties, allowing construction if developers invest in renewable sources and reduce groundwater pumping over time. But there's a larger issue that looms with the chance Arizona will have to absorb further cuts in its share of Colorado River water. The drought has reduced the amount of water in the river, but the upper basin states of Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, and New Mexico have balked. In a display of bipartisanship, Hobbs and GOP leaders are united in saying the state will not surrender more, absent some give from the other states. But they may not have the last word. If a deal is not reached, and soon, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation may do its own allocation of cuts, one that the governor has said could be even worse. Meanwhile, plans for alternative sources, like desalination projects, are in their infancy. Separately, lawmakers continue to wrestle with what restrictions should be placed on pumping in rural areas where existing restrictions are pretty much non-existent, meaning that a single large farm or commercial operation with the ability to drill a deep well can pretty much proceed without regard to how it harms others in the area. It also wouldn't be a legislative session unless lawmakers seek to tackle social issues, particularly what restrictions need to be put in place that affect the conduct of others. One measure back this session is designed to buttress existing laws that restrict those who were born male from participating in girls' sports. There already is an existing prohibition, but a federal judge has said it cannot be applied to two transgender girls who have not gone through puberty. Also on the agenda is an effort to restrict the use of bathrooms and locker rooms based on biological sex, defined as being determined by anatomy, physiology, genetics, and hormones existing at the time of the person's birth. And that same definition is in a proposal to bar school employees from referring to a student by a pronoun that doesn't match their biological sex. All three ideas have been vetoed by Hobbs. So the plan this year is to bypass her and take the issue straight to the 2026 ballot. Arizona law already bars sex reassignment surgery on minors, but there are proposals to outlaw all forms of gender-affirming care, like hormones. Finally, there are likely to be proposals to restrict abortions, despite the fact that voters in 2024 approved a constitutional amendment guaranteeing a fundamental right to the procedure prior to fetal viability. And in a related matter, there also is a bill to require child support to be paid for pre-born children, raising the issue of whether that would somehow grant legal status to a fetus. Other issues likely on the legislative agenda include banning release of chemicals into the air designed to reduce global warming, setting an earlier deadline for people to return mail-in ballots, allowing state agencies to accept payments in cryptocurrency, asking voters to sharply boost legislative salaries, renaming a Maricopa County freeway to honor Charlie Kirk, permitting faster driving on rural freeways, banning red light cameras and photo speed enforcement, researching Trump derangement syndrome, setting speed limits for bicycles on sidewalks, prohibiting fluoride in public water systems, imposing new registration fees on electric vehicles, making ivermectin, an antiparasitic medication, available as an over-the-counter drug, providing a one-time tax credit to parents of newborns, outlawing the sale of nitrous oxide, better known as laughing gas, reining in the right of the Attorney General to file nuisance suits. That's all the time we have for the Prescott Daily Courier. For Sun Sounds of Arizona, I'm volunteer reader Catherine Hammond. Thanks for listening.